Now a man who took a close look at the rising cost of presidential campaigns and said, no thanks. Last December, Democratic Senator Evan Bayh of Indiana formed an exploratory committee. He was fairly well positioned for a run with a strong organization in Iowa and a sizable war chest. But 2 weeks later, Bayh backed away. Among the reasons, the arms race to get to that $100 million mark by the end of the year.
Unfortunately, the first part of this process, really the first primary, doesn't even involve voters. It involves contributors. And if you can't put together the resources to be a viable candidate, you don't even get to the stage where you communicate with voters.
How much was this a factor in your decision not to run in 2008?
Well, it really wasn't for me. We worked very hard to put together a good fundraising network, and I was going to have to work hard at it, to be sure, but we were going to get there. So that really wasn't a factor in my decision. Now, since I made my decision, I think the number may have gone up even higher, because what we've seen is that some of the very large states, Florida, New Jersey, maybe Illinois, Texas, maybe even California, are talking about accelerating their primaries. So in effect, you could have one or two early states, and then a national election. So it makes it even harder for that romantic model where sort of the Mr. Smith who wants to go to Washington can get out there in the living rooms and the coffee shops and emerge and make that happen. Regrettably, the vast sums of money and the contributors make that harder than ever to do.
When we talk about the field, they talk about certain tiers of candidates, first-tier candidates, second-tier candidates, underdogs. What determines the status of a candidate? Is it the polls or is it really fundraising at this point?
Well, it's both. And there's a symbiotic relationship there. If you're a celebrity and you're already nationally known and doing well in the polls, well, some of the contributors follow that because most people want to support someone they believe in. But they'd also, among people who they believe in, like to pick somebody they think got a reasonable chance to win. So doing well in the polls tends to improve your fundraising, and the opposite's also true. The people who are sophisticated look at the bank balances, and they say, oh, well, if that person has the resources, then regardless of what their poll numbers may be right now, they have the potential to do well eventually. And so it does work both ways.
Part of an exploratory committee is sort of looking at the road ahead and trying to figure out where you need to go, what you need to do to raise the money. Help me understand, if you had run, what a day would have been like for you in terms of fundraising. How much of your time would that have taken?
Oh, 80 to 90%. A fundraising breakfast, getting on the phone to call people who could be potential supporters, a fundraising lunch, back on the phone, fundraising reception or dinner, and then because of the three-hour time change to the West Coast, you can still call those folks out there. So it is, I am not exaggerating to say that for a non-celebrity candidate, 80 to 90% of your time revolves around the fundraising aspect, which I think is lamentable, but it's a fact of life. And if you don't get to that critical mass of resources where you're taken seriously as a candidate, then you just kind of wither on the vine and you never, you just don't ever really get in the contest.
It seems right now that in the race to hit that $100 million mark, which requires raising about $2 million a week, that the candidates are very focused on the sort of the big generators, which happen to be on the coast. So they're looking at Wall Street and they're looking at California, and particularly for Democrats, Hollywood. How much of a factor is that for someone who would be considered in the second tier? Can you compete for that money? And I guess the secondary question would be, are you concerned that sort of a small universe starts to control the political process?
Well, that is a concern, no doubt about it. And that's why my favorite part of the process was when I would go to Iowa, New Hampshire, I'm back home in Indiana meeting with real people, and I really hope we don't lose that part of the process, because it should be about more than just who can raise the most bucks or who happens to be the celebrity de jure. You ought to have to stand in living rooms and coffee shops and union halls and have people ask you questions and look you in the eye and size you up, not just once, but over and over again. That's where, you know, who you really are and what you really believe emerges. It's not just about the slick commercials and the canned speech, right? And I think it's very likely with the compression of the schedule, the acceleration of the schedule, we're going to have a nominee after the first two or three contests. It may not officially be over, but in fact it will be over. And you ask
me, by this time next year.
Oh, yeah.
That's what we're talking about.
Oh,
one
yeah,
year from
absolutely.
Now.
So most of the states will be disenfranchised except for the contributors in those states They'll never even have a say. Whoever wins that first state, they're going to emerge and get a lot of momentum. The internet will kick in for them. And once that momentum kicks in, unless they stumble or something unexpected happens, it's just hard for the others to catch up.
Now, you said you're not interested in running for president. Would you be interested in a vice presidential run?
Of course, if someone came to me and said, look, I want you to help me lead this country. I think you have what it takes to help me lead this country. You don't say no to that.
So you wouldn't say no? Is it something that you're actually interested in?
Yes, it would be something that I would be interested in because I think it would give me an opportunity. Look, I love being in the Senate, and I like to think I make a difference here. But if you're president or vice president, I think you have an even greater opportunity to help our country, and that's what I'm all about.
Senator Bayh, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Senator Evan Bayh, Democrat from Indiana.